Getting to know David and the banter that we enjoy of picking on each other because he's in the army, and I'll just leave it at that. But he is a fine young man, and one of those things you always hate to see people go, but you understand with his type of work, to advance your career and continue in the army and to move up like he wants to do, you have to move around and accept different duty stations, and that's sad for us, but the army is certainly gaining a good man, and we're going to miss you, brother, and we've enjoyed having you here for this short time, and we wish you the best, and we certainly thank you for serving our country and certainly all those that continue to do so. Tonight we want to look, if you want to turn your Bibles with me, to John chapter 8, beginning around verse 30, and I'll meet you there in just a moment. Let's suppose that, imagine you're in jail, and the bail has been set at $100,000. Now imagine I paid that bail. And they filled out all of the paperwork, and the bail has been paid. And although that payment has been made and the paperwork has been filled out, you would not technically be released from jail until someone took the keys and physically opened the door to let you out. That is, someone physically has to open that door to set you free from your prison sentence or from your jail sentence. If you think about that in relation to Jesus, Jesus has posted our bail by paying the price for our sins at the cross of Calvary. But that doesn't make us free. You see, for us to be made free, we have to not only abide in His Word, but we have to live by His Word, therefore believing and understanding that it's the truth of the Word and abiding in that Word that sets us free. John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And as He's speaking to the Jewish individuals that are there, not many were literally understanding what He said. Many had difficulties in kind of grasping the concept of what He said He was going to do and where He was going to go. Some even thought in the point of John 8 and verse 22 that He was going to commit suicide when He talked about this idea of leaving and going away, but where He was going, nobody could follow Him. So they were kind of scratching their ideas of this whole truth is going to set you free concept, because to them, they considered themselves to be free, because they were, after all, descendants of Abraham. And because they bore the title of being the nation that God chose and being descendants of Abraham, therefore they were considered, or they consider themselves, to be free from everything. Yet we understand how ludicrous that is, because some 15 centuries before, they had been in bondage to the Egyptians. And now they were in bondage to the Roman authorities. So we know that they were enslaved by different time periods. When you look at the exile and when they were in captivity, they were enslaved there. But this idea that they could not fathom, with Jesus making reference to the idea of them being sons of Abraham, but not being truly free or understanding the truth and Jesus being the truth, they couldn't understand or wrap their head around this concept that Jesus was the one who was going to set them free. Because they didn't want to grasp the concept that Jesus was the one who had been given a glimpse of in relation to Him being the true Messiah that the Bible talks about. And that's not what they wanted to hear. So as you see this discourse here, and really in verses 30 through verses 59, Jesus comes and gives this idea to the Jewish individuals that are surrounding Him that He's the only one that can truly set us free from the concept of being in prison and enslaved by the idea of sin. To them, that's not what they think He's talking about. They're looking at a physical, literal enslavement. And Jesus says, I'm not talking about that type of enslavement. I'm talking about being caught up in the idea of what sin is, and it's entrapping you. Therefore, you're never going to be free from it until you understand that I'm the truth and I'm the only one that can set you free from that particular sin. The Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Jesus is trying to get that point across to the Israelites, but they could not grasp this concept. So when you look at verses 30 through 50, Jesus offers this freedom. And upon hearing the claims of Jesus, many respond, some positively and some negatively. Some who truly believed on Him in verse 30, it says, after He spake these words, many believed in Him or believed on Him, perhaps your translation says. But I think in believing on Him, they believed in the concept of who He was, but not in the idea that He was delivering. Because then you get to verse 31, it said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. The word being the truth that He's delivering to them, that He is the Son of God, and that He is the only one that can save them from their sins. But Jesus' claims that they didn't truly trust Him completely. When we think about Jesus in relation to our salvation, it's not a half-hearted belief. You have those, many in the world really, that believe on Jesus but don't truly follow Him. They love the idea of Jesus without all the bloody mess of the cross. They love the idea of Jesus, but they don't love the concept of obeying and being completely committed to what it means to be a Christian and what it means to follow Christ. They love the idea of all the blessings that come with it, but they don't want to follow the concept of being saved to receive the blessings. And the Israelites are kind of grasping this same mentality. But they could not truly understand what Jesus was claiming to be the one who's going to set them free. And in their mind, being the sons of Abraham, they were already free. And because they were already free, they didn't believe that Jesus knew what He was talking about. And now you're telling us that where you're going, we can't go with you? Has this man lost his mind? Is he going to kill himself? But now Jesus gets into this kind of discourse as you begin to read down through this text. Belief is only the beginning. And once you're born again, John 3 verses 3 through 5, growth must follow that belief. Growth must follow that obedience. And this is what Jesus and this idea that He's trying to push with them. Without obedience, we never know the truth, and we'll only continue by this pursuit of Jesus for us to be free from the bondage of sin. That is, to truly be a disciple, we have to know what truth is. Truth being the application of knowledge, there's this state of bondage, and only truth is able to set you free. And Jesus said, I'm the only truth. Jesus being the Word, John 1 and verse 1, that Word that came and dwelt among us. But now look at verses 33 through 36 of John chapter 8. They answered Him and said, we are Abraham's descendants and we've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say, you will be made free? Again, forgetting the Egyptian bondage, forgetting the Babylonian encampment, forgetting that they were now in bondage to the Roman Empire because of the tithes and the taxes that they were having to pay to the Roman government was keeping them in bondage. In verse 34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. This is the concept that He's pushing. I'm not talking about that type of enslavement. I'm talking about being spiritually enslaved to sin. Verse 35, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Jesus said, therefore, I'm the truth that you're looking for. I'm the one that sets you free from the bondage of sin that you're in now. But they believed simply because they were descendants of Abraham and they bore the title of Abraham, therefore they were already free. That's not the way it works. You can't ride the coattail of your parents into heaven. You can't, just because you come to church occasionally, think you're going to be saved because you put on the title of Christian, yet don't want the responsibilities that come with the idea of being a Christian. And this is exactly what the Jewish descendants were doing here. They were riding the coattails of Abraham. Even God Himself said, Abraham being a descendant, that He was the one who was the one being set free by the idea that he remained in faith to God. But see, even he abided in the Word and in the law. The Jews said, simply because we wear the title of Abraham, therefore we're good. Doesn't work that way. You see, Jesus clarified His words by plainly stating that He was talking about freedom from sin. And His audience was in spiritual slavery. And as the Son of God, Jesus has the power, as we see in Galatians 4, to relieve that debt of sin. Jesus is the only one that can spiritually set us free from the enslavement of sin. But once He sets us free and opens the door, we have to take the step to being released from that idea by obeying the commandments and following the truth that He gives us. That is, applying the truth. There are a lot of people in the world that know the truth, but that do nothing with the truth. And what good is the truth if you don't do anything with it? That's like holding this idea of evangelism that many times we're guilty of in the church. That is, we hide the truth under the pew and we don't share it with anybody. But the truth is something that sets you completely free from being enslaved to sin. Slaves cannot enjoy, as you look at John verse 8 and 35, the privileges of being truly free. Because you can have a slave who doesn't produce for the master to be set free from the house. But to be truly set free from the idea of sin, you've got to obey the master who will eventually relieve you of your debt and your duty to the house. So that is, we have to produce with the truth that's therefore been given to us. Jesus said, none of you Jews are doing that. You're all enslaved to the idea of sin because you don't understand who the truth is. Jesus said, I'm the only truth that matters and I'm the only truth that can set you free. And obviously the Jews didn't really believe because they were still slaves to sin. Look at verse 37 and 38. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. Jesus said, I know exactly who you are. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. You see, Jesus said, you don't like the truth. You don't like the fact that I represent the truth, and you don't like the fact that I called you out as Abraham's descendants who don't follow the truth and who told you about me from the very beginning. Jesus is calling their bluff. Look at verse 38. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Notice the lowercase father there. He's talking about Abraham. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. That is a dig of all digs. Because he said, if you were truly a son of Abraham, if you truly understood the concept of what it means to be a Jew who follows Abraham, you would follow like Abraham follows. And Abraham believed by faith and followed God when he was sent into the far country. He did exactly what God had told him. You know what Jesus is telling them? You don't follow Abraham and you don't even act like him. That's not a compliment. Jesus said, who do you think you are claiming to be a descendant of Abraham and you don't even act like the one you claim that your father is? Jesus said, I am my Father because I abide in my Father and my Father in me. I am the word that my Father sent. Therefore, your job is to believe in me because he's the one that sent me. Well, they didn't like this whole concept and this idea. Look at verse 39 through 41. Again, he said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father, the lowercase. But in a minute, he's going to tell them exactly who he believes their father is. Then they said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one Father God. This was a dig back to Jesus. Because what they're referencing and what they believe to be his illegitimate birth. They knew how he was born and who his father was. They knew who his mother was also. So this was a dig back to Jesus. You want to dig on us? Then we'll dig on your illegitimate birth. But notice what Jesus says in verse 42. Jesus says to them, if God were your Father, then you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Jesus said, I can tell you, I'm not claiming this of myself. Go back to John chapter 5. He gives witnesses of who he truly is. Not only the Scriptures, not only of God, not only of the prophets. Jesus said, I've given you scriptural evidence in who I am. I've given you enough proof to show you that I'm in fact the Son of God. And if you were of Abraham, you would follow your father Abraham, who also followed God. But you're not of your father Abraham. Well, they didn't like that, so they again dig on him and say, we know that you're an illegitimate child. Jesus said, mm-mm. I'm only doing the works of my Father, the one who sent me here. Look at verse 42. Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me, and I proceed forth and came God from God, nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. In verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word. Jesus said, you hear me, but you're not listening to me. You don't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth. There's a communication breakdown somewhere in the process here, Jesus says, because you're not truly listening to what I'm telling you. So the communication wires are crossed somewhere in this conversation. Look at verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Not Abraham's descendants. You're of your father, the devil. That's who I believe where you're coming from. And because your father is the devil, you're caught up in this idea of sin. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth. Jesus was the truth. He told them that he was the truth. And because there is no truth in him, when he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, Jesus says, you do not believe me. Ever had a conversation with somebody concerning the truth? You can show them verbatim what the Bible says. You can show them book, chapter, and verse and show them the exact scripture that will save them and they will say, I don't believe what that says. Remember what Paul told the church? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? In essence, this is what Jesus is telling them. You don't believe me because I'm the one who's been sent of God. I'm the truth who's been sent of God. I'm the one who only can free you from your sin, but you don't believe in who I am. You're claiming to be the descendants of Abraham, but you don't follow the works of your father, so I'll tell you exactly who you are. Your father is the devil of lies and the deceitfulness, and that's exactly who you're following. Jesus is giving an education lesson here. He's giving them basically book, chapter, and verse and giving them history of who they are and where they came from. And you can almost sense the tension now during this conversation and how upset they're getting. Because now they're going to get to the point where they want to kill him. Have you ever had a conversation, a religious conversation with somebody, and as you continue to give them more truth, the more mad they get, the more upset they get, their face turns red, their ears turn red, the blood begins to swell up in their neck, they're gritting their teeth and clenching their fist? Why do you think that is? Because they know they can't escape the truth. And this is exactly how I picture this scene as Jesus is talking with these individuals, and as their blood is beginning to boil, and as they're getting all worked up over the fact of that Jesus is telling them everything they should already know, then Jesus throws this whopper on them and says, you know who your father is? Your father's the devil, the father of lies. And deceitfulness is found in him, and that's exactly who you're following. You see, Jesus is the only one that offers eternal life. Look at verse 48. Because before Abraham, as Jesus is going to say, I am. And there's one of those I am statements that we talked about. Then the Jews answered and said to him, do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Boy, you can just see the shots being fired, right? First they claimed Jesus was illegitimate. Jesus now tells them that they are the father of lies, they're the father of the devil, the one who's deceitful and walks around. And now they tell Jesus that he's a half-breed, half-blood Samaritan and a demon on top of that. Boy, they just want to make sure they dig and pour the salt in the wound, so to speak, don't they? Listen to verse 49. Jesus answered and said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I can almost hear Jesus with a calming tone in his voice here. Not getting upset. Jesus knows the truth. He is the truth. He's the one that gives them the truth. Verse 50, and I do not seek my own glory, and there is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, verse 51, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Now again, this is a new concept to them. Jesus answered their charges. Who do you make yourself out to be? By dismissing the idea that he's glorifying himself, rather, he's simply being obedient to God. Look at verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. The only thing they can say to him in reference to defending their own truth was by making up accusations. Ever had that happen to you? Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Verse 53, and you are greater than our father Abraham who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Basically, who do you think you are? Notice verse 54, Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my Father is nothing. Jesus said, this isn't about me. There's nothing in this that I'm claiming the glory for myself. I'm simply trying to give you the truth that sets you free. God is the one who sent me to set you free, and because I'm truth, I'm not honoring myself. I'm doing the works of my Father. It is my Father who honors me, and of whom you say that he is your God. Verse 55. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. There's Jesus. Now Jesus pours salt in the wound. Jesus says you claim to know him, you claim to follow him, but you don't honor him with your lips. Again, go back to Matthew 15, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. He's referencing the Jewish leaders here. You're doing your own thing, your own way. You claim to be a descendant of Abraham. You claim to follow Abraham and do his works. You claim to be a follower of God and do his works, but you don't honor me and who he sent to be the one true Savior of the world. Jesus said, guess what? I do it because I follow his word. You're not following his word. Look at verse 55, or verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, because now they're scratching their head in relation to him claiming that he saw Abraham. Jesus, in verse 57, the Jews said to him, you aren't even 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Verse 58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. When he made that statement, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Because every time God referenced himself in the Old Testament of being Jehovah, the great I am, when he talked to Moses at the burning bush, he tell them that I am sent you. And as soon as he claimed the great I am, look at the next verse. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by him. Now he's putting himself in relation to being deity. He is claiming, in fact, to be the Son of God. He said that I am and that he was Jehovah God. Let's kill him. So not only did Jesus put down where they came from being descendants of Abraham, not only did he tell them they didn't fully understand the Old Testament scriptures, but now he tells them you're talking to God himself. And because of that, they were angry and they wanted to kill him. How terrible is it that these guardians of Scripture failed to believe the word incarnate? Because that's exactly who Jesus was. We have to make sure that we never take and make the same mistake. So what's the takeaway? Well, only when you're dedicated to finding the truth, believing the truth and obeying the truth and being set free by the truth is one truly free from sin. Again, family relationships don't offer justification. The Jews thought because they were spiritually free, simply because they were descendants of Abraham, they had a free ticket into heaven. But that wasn't how it worked. And even Jesus told them that wasn't how it worked. And again, there are a lot of people today who think they're saved simply because their parents have always been members of that particular Lord's church. Or they grew up attending church. Or maybe they have a faithful spouse who attends said church. But that doesn't set you free. You see, you can know the truth and sit at home every Sunday morning and watch the Golf Channel. Doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You can know the truth and never follow it, but think you're a believer in Jesus Christ because you know the Savior, but you don't truly know Him because you don't follow Him. So the application there is if you're dedicated to the truth and want to be free from sin, then you follow the truth and obey the truth. That is, you've got to walk outside the cell door. Jesus has opened the gate. Jesus has opened the door and given us freedom. But people stay enslaved to sin because they stay behind the cell wall. They don't want it because it's easier inside. And mere religious practices don't offer justification either. Some think they're saved simply because they are members of the true church of Christ, or again, they attend worship services regularly, or they have these strong religious scruples or habits in the church. But that doesn't save you either. Only truly following the one true God and the Bible itself is what sets us free. It's not simply having an association. I'm an associate of the Church of Christ. No, you're an erring person of the Church of Christ. And as much as that hurts to hear, that's the truth. I don't like the term erring Christian because those two words don't go together. Completely opposite, because a Christian is one who walks in the light of Jesus Christ, right? One who errs, obviously, is not walking in the light. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we are faithful and just. What? He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. We continue to walk in that light. And mere morality doesn't offer justification either. Just because one is a good person, as the Jews were claiming to be many times, look at us. We do the works of Abraham. Jesus said, think again. If you did the works of Abraham, you would know who I was. And many claim moral religiosity or moral justification because they're a good person and they do charitable works and all of these other things, that doesn't make one a Christian. Because guess what, brethren? Good people don't go to heaven. Christians do. And as much as that hurts too, you mean to tell me my aunt or uncle who are really good people aren't going to heaven because they never obeyed the gospel? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Because there are a lot of good people who thought they were doing good things in the name of Jesus. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 7:23? I don't even know who you are. Turn around and go that way because I don't even know you. You claim to do all of these works. You claim to do them in my name. But I don't associate with you. I don't know you. And I don't want to know you. Because you didn't do it according to my word, Colossians 3 and verse 17. Some are under the delusion that they're saved simply because they are benevolent to those in need. And that's, I'm not taking away from anybody who's benevolent. The Bible tells us that we are to take care of each other, but obedience to the gospel comes first. Because you can be good to people all day long, but if you're not in Christ, on the day of judgment, you don't get to lay your works before God and say, look how good I was. He's going to say, before all of that, let's kind of wash this aside. And what did my son's blood do for you? Where are your sins in relation to all of these good works? Because I'm not judging you by that. Though those works are important for a child of God, that's not the issue at hand here. Either you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. That's the only question at hand on the day of judgment. Well, doing that good and faithful servant, one who's a servant of Christ is one who's not a slave to sin, one who serves God and follows His commandments. Freedom comes from knowing Christ through genuine faith. It's one thing to follow Jesus, but it's another thing to continue to follow Jesus when we learn who He really is. And the world claims to follow Jesus today, but they don't truly know Him because they don't know what He stands for and what He requires. The Bible tells us in Romans 11, verse 22, behold the goodness and the severity of God. It's the severe part that people don't like in relation to who God is because they think He's not going to punish people. They look at God as if He's some big old grandpa softy who's going to whitewash sins and put an umbrella over them and say, you know what, it's okay, I love you anyway. God loves all of mankind and He wants all of man to be saved, 2 Peter chapter 3. But at the same time, if we don't follow His commandments, we see the wrath of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. That flaming fire and taking vengeance on those who know not God and obey not the commandments of Jesus Christ. Jesus told these Jewish individuals, you know God, but you don't follow Him. You claim to know Me, but you don't believe what I tell you. There are a lot of people in the world today that do the same thing that these Jewish individuals did. Today, if you've never obeyed the gospel, maybe you've heard it many times, and whatever it is that's keeping you back, if there's some truth that's holding you back, if there's something in your life that's holding you back, Jesus preaches to you every time, you know who I am, and you know what you need to do, but you don't do it. I've had people say, Larry, you know, why do people come to church for all these years and not obey the gospel? Oh, how I wish and pray I had the answer to that. Maybe it's a hard heart. Maybe it's a bad experience. You know, I mentioned to you this morning my grandfather who never obeyed the gospel. But what I didn't tell you was that his mother was a member of the Lord's church. But you see, when my grandfather was 3 years old, somebody offended her. And so she stormed out of the church and she vowed she would never go back, and she never did. So therefore, she never taught her son the gospel, who never taught my father or my grandmother the gospel. But thanks be to God, my other grandfather knew the gospel. You see, and because of that, and because of some sad situation, whatever it was, that she was offended, like the Jews were offended, and perhaps she was told something she didn't like, or some truth that she heard in the church that upset her. But it was perhaps the same truth that would have set her free and my grandfather as well. Sometimes there are things in the gospel we don't like, but that doesn't mean we cast them out. Just as we understand there has to be a well-balanced diet for our children, we don't continually feed them sugar. We give them the things they need, even perhaps days they don't like them, but we know it's good for them, right? Jesus was trying to give them the spiritual necessities they needed to be free from sin. And that's exactly what the gospel does for us. So if you need to be freed from sin, if you need that spiritual nutrition, only the gospel can provide that for you. And it's only the gospel that can set you free. So today, if you never obeyed the precious gospel of Jesus Christ, you have that opportunity. Jesus is calling you home today. The door is wide open. You've got to step outside the cell and accept His invitation. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and put on Christ in baptism, Acts 2:38. To have all of your sins washed away, to be free from that debt that Jesus was willing to pay for all of us. And if you're here as a child of God, if you're struggling, if you're suffering, whatever it is, let us help you with that. Let us pray for you. We want to encourage you, but don't be a slave to it anymore as together we stand and as we sing. I heard